You know, I've seen God work through Joel in an awful lot of ways, and in ways that I don't think either one of us expected. I know back when we were both in seminary together, we'd have a lot of conversations, and at times Joel would really question whether he had what it took to be a pastor, whether that was really what he should do. He knew he could do business type stuff, and I think he knew he was a leader. Everybody else did. But in a church, he wasn't sure about that. He didn't have that background. And here we are, 25 years later.
When Westwood started, it was all hands on deck. Just like any organization or business that launches, everybody's jumping in and doing what they can to make that vision a reality. Some of my memories from the early days, including Joel and I going to an auction to buy office furniture that we needed. And then I remember one Sunday when we were meeting at the dinner theater and we could not have services there on Mother's Day. We ended up doing a service and Mother's Day brunch at the Radisson Hotel. And it was just an example of Joel not just solving a problem, but helping us come up with ideas to make our vision more of a reality that day, and not just overcome, but have a fantastic and meaningful event that day.
When I think of Joel as a leader, I think about the things that he did when he first came into this community, Chanhassen. In 1995, one of the first things that he did was reach out to City Hall and actually take breakfast to the city staff at City Hall. Joel wanted to make sure that Westwood Community Church was an active and a vibrant part of this community.
So when I see Joel on Sundays teaching and then also get to interact with him during the week, I realize he really is the same person. He's humble, he brings a spirit of servant leadership to our team, which ultimately just fuels collaboration and a great culture to work in.
There's no question and no doubt that he loves people, that he cares for people, that he's looking out for the interests of other people around him. He's truly the there you are kind of person.
That compassionate love of people has then, I've seen, translate over the years through a bigger heart as we've grown our own family every time we add a child, just to see that.
I think through the years, the coolest work that I've seen, it's coming on an interpersonal level with my friends that I've grown up with, the friends that I introduced him to. It's like he just loves on them authentically. And he comes in, for some of them, he's been a secondary father figure for them, or primary father figure for them if situations happen. You know, but I've had friends whose dads have passed early, and they've told me, like, I see your dad as my dad now.
He cares deeply for you, but he also does a really nice job of reminding you who cares for you even more than he does. And that's the one that cares for him also. You know, he points you towards God. And through that, I know he's encouraged many, many people. And obviously in my life, it's happened many, many, many times.
Thank you, Dad, for being such a great example.
We are all grateful for the way you have led so well.
We just want to say thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Joel.
For answering God's call in your life.
Bye, Papa.
Yeah, we do.
It is important to celebrate milestones, and this is a significant one. And I had the privilege to serve as the first chairman at Westwood in that role for about 10 years, and for 18 of the first 20 years on the leadership board. I've never quite seen Joel out of position quite like this, so good job. You know, but milestones are important. They're clarity in time where we stop and we recognize and we reflect on important things that have happened, but also we look forward. And we're just so thankful that Joel said yes to that invitation to start this new church in Chanhassen 25 years ago and began that ministry with he and Carrie together. And we have benefited greatly from that. And I've personally seen both behind the scenes and out front the impact of Joel and the ministry here. And Joel has led well. He has led with vision, that clarity of direction and purpose for the future for Westwood, with open hands receiving and giving, and even now re-energized with really bringing God and sharing God's love here, near, and far. He's led with unity. He knows how important it is to have unity in the church, and he has stayed true to God's word to assure that spirit of unity is strong here. He has led with humility. He always puts others first. It's never about Joel. It's about reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ. And he has led with love, his deep love for Carrie and their family, his love for others, his love for the lost, his love for the church, and his love for God. You know, and Joel hasn't just taught us. He has shown us how to be covered by grace, how to be embraced by the love, how to be transformed by the power, how to be encouraged by the hope, and how to be sheltered under the mercy of a great and a mighty God. You know, and I think what makes Joel unique is that he makes faith real for us. His genuineness, his openness, his vulnerability, his ability to speak with conviction and clarity that hits us at just the right way, at just the right time, and enables us to enhance and enrich our own faith journeys. How many of us haven't left here on a Sunday saying, I think Joel prepared that message just for me with those right words at the right time? And I think only in eternity will we see the real impact, the real significance, the real depth of what's happened in this ministry over this 25 years and going forward. So we love you, Joel and Carrie. We're so thankful that you followed your hearts, that leading of God, to come out here to start this new church, to serve him well. And you've done that, and we have been so grateful for that. And we look forward to many years ahead. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I'm Scott Swain, and I'm the current leadership board chair. And Joel and Carrie, we just want to thank you again for 25 years of faithful service to Westwood through your ministry. I'd like to present these gifts on behalf of the congregation to you. And Joel, what we have in front of you is called a boombox. And there's a photo of it on the screen behind us. And a boombox is a handcrafted wooden box. And inside that box is hundreds of messages from the congregation, personal notes and photos that were sent in. In fact, when we sent that note out to each of you, we maybe expected 150 responses, and instead we received over 400. It was the largest response. It was the largest response in the history of the Boombox Corporation. And it was so many responses that the cards couldn't fit into just one boombox. We're presenting you with two today. As you read through that, we know that you'll reflect on each of those messages, and we just hope that it'll be a reminder of the significance that you played in each of our lives for the last 25 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Dan. Carrie and I, we just sincerely want to thank you for what has been an extraordinary journey for us. And it's been extraordinary in ways I could never take the time enough here to explain. But it's been extraordinary because from the beginning, Jesus has been center. He's our everything. And you've allowed that in times when culture shifts us in different ways. We will not negotiate the commitment to our Lord Jesus, a Son of God and Savior of our souls. And he's blessed us with this incredible leadership board at Westwood. There's a saying that a divided board is a divided church, and a united board is a united church. We have had 25 years of unity in our leadership board. That is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Grateful for the servant leaders there. and no doubt the staff team that we have. And I wish you could all see them. This is our board from last night. We celebrated with our board past members and present members. Grateful for that. But our staff team, if you could get into the boiler room, they are all in. They are dedicated and devoted to Jesus and to serving you with all their gifts and their abilities and their time. They're extraordinary. I'm grateful for the team that God has given us through the years. And I have to say thank you to you, because your yeses through the years, I think, have honored God. They have lifted me up so many times along the way. Your yeses to step into the journey of serving joyfully, of giving generously, of loving contagiously, not just God and not just each other. But I think the unique mark is the sincere love for people who do not yet know the love of Jesus in their lives. And it's why we exist, to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. I'm so proud and privileged to be with a congregation that wants to be with, love, and attend to those who have yet to taste of the beauty of Jesus in their lives. So we want to thank you for the journey that we've shared together. And of course, with Carrie, there would be no journey. She's been incredible all the way through. And I want to say Leith and Charlene. Leith is our special guest today, because when this decision was made to do this, I was not comfortable with it. I don't know if you can tell that at all, but I said, if Leith would come and speak, I would do that, because how do I say thank you to Leith and Charlene, who have modeled for Carrie and me what it means to have marriage that's Christ-centered. That was a gift to both of us and continues to be. He took me in as a 23-year-old kid, totally clueless, and I did not have credentials for the work that was before me, but he saw in me things that I did not see in myself, and I'm just grateful that God puts people in your path to help you set a direction according to his will and way. And he taught me the love of the Church of Jesus Christ, of Jesus himself, but hold high the church. It's the beautiful bride of Christ, and I'm grateful. And he taught me how to lead, and for that, there's never enough words to say thanks for that investment. So thank you, Leith and Charlene. Thank you to all of you. We love you and our children who are going to be with us all today, too. It's just, now that's the best gift you can have. So just thank you, God, and thank you to all of you. We really appreciate it. So I'm glad the journey continues.
You join me, and we're gonna pray for Joel and Carrie. He really wants to get off this stage, but we're gonna keep him up just a little bit longer. Dear Lord, we come before you with humble hearts and grateful spirits, and we stand in awe as we consider the lives that have been changed, the families that have been restored, the relationships that have been healed, and the souls that have been saved over these 25 years of Pastor Joel's ministry here at Westwood. We thank you for your servant, Joel, who you placed here for your purpose and your plan. We've seen the vision you put on his heart come to life in inspiring and amazing ways. We celebrate this 25-year milestone knowing that all Joel is, all he has accomplished, and all that he will be is because of you. And as we look back, we reflect with gratitude on your protection and provision. And as we look forward, we feel a sense of anticipation, expectation, and excitement for all that you will continue to do at Westwood. Lord, we thank you for the goodness, grace, and mercy you have shown again and again. And we lift up Pastor Joel and his family to you. Carrie, Esten and Caitlin, those precious grandkids, Jovi and Calla, Loren, Kate, Blake, and Sophie. We pray your blessing on the Johnson family, and we praise your name for the work you have done over these 25 years through Joel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now you can go.
Welcome those who are in Woodside who join us now, as well as those who are in Bush Lake and again online as we continue this meaningful day together. As you've heard thus far, we have a special guest speaker today, Leith Anderson. Leith is the pastor emeritus of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, and he served there as senior pastor for 35 years. During Leith's tenure, one of the things that he led the church in was a church planting vision for the Twin Cities metro area. And the original plan was 3 churches, and Westwood was number 3. And throughout the time that they pursued that, there were 9 churches started, and many of those 9, like us, have started our own churches. And it's a true kingdom, beautiful vision of multiplication that God inspired him to create, and now here we are. Leith and his wife Charlene live in Eden Prairie. He's also the president emeritus of the National Association of Evangelicals. He's an author, he's been a presidential advisor, and he's an incredible Kingdom of God focused leader. And we are so grateful for his impact, both on Pastor Joel's life and on this church's life. And I would love if you would join me in giving a very warm welcome to Leith Anderson.
There are 4 biographies of Jesus in the New Testament, all named after their authors. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and somebody. Actually, if you open your New Testament and you turn to that 4th biography, that 4th gospel, at the top of the page it will say John, but that's been added. That was not originally part of that 4th biography. It's been added by an editor and publishers throughout the years, but his name never appears once in this entire book that he wrote. He's referred to only as the other disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's true that Jesus is through all 21 chapters, but there's never once the use of the name John. And it seems to me that the absence of him writing his own name is, I don't know, it tells us something about John and about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So what do we know about this guy, this Saint Somebody? We know that he was really devoted to Jesus. Early on in his story, he left a lucrative family business in order to give himself full time as a disciple of Jesus. We know that John was the only one of the 12 disciples who showed up for the crucifixion. All the rest of them were hiding somewhere because they were at risk. And he considered being there by Jesus' side when he was crucified and died as more important than risking his own possible arrest and crucifixion. So we find a consistent pattern where he minimized himself and he maximized Jesus. We know that Jesus also really trusted John. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's not to say that he didn't love the others, but I take out of this that he apparently was Jesus' best friend. And Jesus has as much right to a best friend as any of us have, that he was someone that Jesus could talk to, share confidences with. He was in Jesus' inner circle, really close to him. And that was a risky thing for Jesus to do. Because what if John took inappropriate advantage? What if John asked for special information that was not his to have, or requested miracles that would benefit him or his family? What if? But there's no indication that he ever did any of that. Jesus could trust him as his best friend, the disciple whom he loved. And when Jesus especially needed something, which he did on the cross. You see, he was the oldest son in a Jewish family in first century Israel, and it was his responsibility to take care of his mother for the rest of her life. But it was a responsibility that he couldn't fulfill because he knew that in a short time he was going to die. And so he had to choose someone else who would care for Mary. And he chose John. It's the words that he spoke, and he didn't speak many on the cross, speaking only 7 times. We read that when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby the cross, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Tradition says in the historical record that John took care of her for the rest of her life. He was someone whom Jesus could trust, like no one else. Jesus also knew that he could trust John with his story. It's true, there are other biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They have a name. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. That means they're quite synonymous. 95% of Mark is almost word for word in the Gospel of Matthew. When you read through the New Testament and you start reading and you've read Matthew and then you read Mark and Luke, you sort of think, well, I've already read this because there's such similarity. But there was more of the story to tell. There were some blanks that were left. And so Jesus needed another biography by an eyewitness, someone whom he could trust to get the information correct, but also someone who could edit it down. Of all the miracles that Jesus performed, of all the things that he said, which were the ones that were essential? Which were the ones that were most important? Someone who could get it right. And so he picked someone he knew he could trust to do that. A fourth gospel that would be different from the other three. It would be the gospel that we call the Gospel of John. And because of that, there are things that we know that we never would have known because they're not in the other gospels. We would have never known that Jesus turned water into wine. We would have never known, if it weren't for what John wrote, that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We would have never known perhaps the most familiar words in the most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. We would have never known that Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It was John and John only who told us the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We know this because Jesus trusted John. John, at the end of his biography of Jesus, sort of sums it up. He says, there are many other things that Jesus did. If they were all written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So this unnamed author of the New Testament Gospel of Jesus Christ, his name was John. He was fully devoted to Jesus, and Jesus trusted him. And there's a sense in which he's our hero. He's the template of what we want to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. He gives us an example, a mentor that we can follow, so that we can be the daughters and the sons of Saint John, that we can be counted among those who are also fully devoted to Jesus and whom Jesus can trust. Whom Jesus can trust to do what he asks and to communicate his story now to our generation. So we're to be disciples like John, daughters and sons of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So today we celebrate a son of that New Testament disciple whom Jesus loved and trusted. And he even has the name John's son. So I've known Joel and Carrie for, I don't know, I think 40 years. I remember one of our first meetings. Joel was sitting on the couch in my office in Richfield. And honestly, I don't remember anything he said, and I don't remember anything I said. What I remember is he could not sit still. He just could not. I mean, he crossed his legs, he moved his hands, he went from one side of the couch to the other. I mean, he just had too much energy. Just full of all this energy. So, not because of experience, but because of potential, I asked him if he would become the junior high pastor. It seemed like a good match, you know. I mean, it just seemed like the right thing to do. He actually succeeded someone who was an outstanding junior high pastor, and he did even better. And then he switched positions and became the outreach pastor. So he's responsible for evangelism, but also for missions. So here in the Twin Cities, in Minnesota, but around the world. And I watched him as his vision grew, a deep concern for people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but also a compassion for those who are suffering from poverty and from injustice. And he preached. He preached pretty regularly at Wooddale Church. And he was really good. People loved him and respected him. And we reached a point after 15 years when it just became, to me at least, and I think to Joel as well, obvious that there was something more, that he had a capacity that exceeded any position or what he was currently doing. And so initially there were conversations and recommendations to some mid-sized churches in Minnesota, Illinois, other places, taking a look at them and them taking a look at him, but nothing seemed to quite fit. It didn't seem quite right. And so a decision was made to start a new church, launch a church that would be actually on the same road, 7 miles away, a 10-minute drive. Joel was encouraged to take as many people with him from Wooddale Church as wanted to go. And a bold decision was made, a bold decision to start the first Sunday with 3 services at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. And over 800 people showed up. But one of the most memorable parts for me was not the 800, but 12. A dozen people whom Joel recruited to pray for him and to pray for Westwood Community Church. He didn't ask them to come with him in this new venture, but simply to pray. I remember especially Margaret Hansen, a senior saint. She prayed diligently and faithfully for Carrie and for Joel and for you. But she never came to services. She never actually, to my knowledge, she never showed up at church here. But she prayed. I think that's the kind of thing that St. John, disciple of Jesus, would do. Joel and Carrie, son and daughter of that biblical John, the disciple whom Jesus loved and trusted. I've never doubted their love for Jesus Christ, and I've never doubted Jesus' trust in them with Westwood Church. 25 years, thousands of people. Outreach from Chanhassen to China, from Minneapolis to Malawi. About 2.5 weeks ago, Joel and I met for breakfast, and we talked about all kinds of things for 3 hours, long breakfast. He said something, he actually wrote it on a napkin. He said, "It's not about me. It's not about Joel. Not about John. About Jesus. Your pastor truly is a John son." There's a story about a teenager, a young prodigy pianist, who played his first public concert in a recital hall in London. The word was out in the music community that he was really good, and so the 1,000-seat auditorium was sold out. It was packed. And I guess he was as good or better than the rumors had said, kind of spectacular. And when he finished, the crowd stood for this standing ovation, clapping and cheering. He did the required bow and then slipped off stage through the curtain, and they wouldn't quit. So the stage manager said that he needed to get back out there and play an encore, but he said he didn't have anything else to play, and he didn't want to go back out there. So the stage manager said, "Well, you need to just go out and acknowledge it or do something, because everyone is standing and clapping for you." And this young pianist said, "Well, not everyone. There's a gray-haired man up in the balcony, and he's seated." So the story goes that the stage manager took a peek through the curtains and said, "Okay, there are 999 people who are standing and clapping for you. What difference does that one guy in the balcony make?" And the young prodigy said, "He's my teacher." There was another brilliant young communicator, not a musician, but a preacher. He preached the longest and in many ways one of the most brilliant of sermons recorded in the New Testament. His name was Stephen. And when he finished that spectacular sermon, they did not stand to applaud him. They picked up rocks to stone him and Stephen became a martyr. It cost him his life. Acts chapter 7 says that when they heard his sermon, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. If you're a Bible student, check it out. Doesn't the Bible, I think, always say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father? Look, look, Stephen said. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Someday in heaven, may Jesus stand for Westwood Church. May Jesus stand for you. May Jesus stand for Joel and Carrie Johnson. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for salvation through your Son. Thank you that we can be disciples, that we can be the daughters and sons of your apostles, like John. Thank you. Thank you for Joel and Carrie Johnson. Give now your richest continued blessing on this church, on these people, on this pastor, all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.